Board of Regents, and it is about 10:01 on my clock, and so I would like to go ahead and convene this meeting, and I would ask Amy Unsworth in the Commissioner's Office to begin with a roll call. Amy?
Certainly. Chair Albrecht?
Here.
Regent Lozar?
Here.
Here.
Thank you. Regent Greenfield?
Present.
Johnstone?
Here.
Thank you. Regent Nystuen?
Here in Helena.
Thank you. Regent... I heard him on the phone.
He was
Hold
here.
Hold on there. I know he is. Commissioner Christian?
I'm here.
Thank you. I see Ms. Siri Smiley is representing the Governor's Office. Hi, Siri. And do we have anyone from OPI on the line? Maybe not yet.
Amy, you cut out. You must have mentioned Regent Tuss, correct?
Sure did, Paul.
Okay, I'm here.
Thanks.
My apologies.
Awesome. Okay, Amy, so we have everyone present. We have a full quorum from the Board of Regents, the commissioners. And I didn't hear if there's anybody present from the Office of Public Instruction.
No.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Again, this is Fran Albrecht, and it is my pleasure to welcome everyone who is with us on this call across the wintry state of Montana. And I will note that due to travel conditions, your Board of Regents are also dialing in, other than we have a Regent Nystuen and Regent Lozar there in Helena at the Commissioner's Office. I will note that this is the last meeting at the current Commissioner's Office, as they are moving to their new location tomorrow. And Commissioner Christian, I think we will all look forward to seeing your new location. So if you can make the move in the snow. Today is a shorter meeting for the Board of Regents, but we still have a lot of work to do today, and I'll just give a quick overview of what we have ahead of us this morning. Commissioner Christian will give us a report on a few personnel changes, as well as thank the hard work of those who have really stepped up over the last year to help our Montana University system. And our first tasks this morning will be to discuss updates to the board policy regarding the naming of a building or program, renewal of use and operating agreements, as well as a request for a new operating agreement, and then lastly, the request to renovate the Marga Joseas Fitness Center at MSU Bozeman. The Office of the Commissioner of Higher Education will present for approval Helena College Dean Kirk Lacey's contract, and MSU Bozeman is recommending tenure for a newly hired faculty member. After that, we will take action on four items, including the 2019 biennial state general fund allocations, a request to update the University of Montana-Missoula core themes, approval to update the Helena College mission statement, and then lastly, two level two authorizations of programs. We will review the intent to plan proposals for academic programs that may be presented to the board as level two academic items in the coming 18 months. And at that time, we will take public comment, followed by our executive session. And we will recess after the executive session due to the fact that we are unable to be together for an effective informal planning session. So we have a lot going on today, and I would like to go ahead and get started. And for those who are on the call, just for efficiency's sake, if you could mute your phones, that would be very helpful. Again, welcome, and thank you to everyone for your interest and your participation in today's Board of Regents meeting. I would like to begin with the approval of the minutes from November 16th. And 17th, 2017, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Madam Chair.
Martha moves.
Motion made by Regent Sheehy. Any discussion or corrections from members of the board? Campuses. Any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I will call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The same sign. Approval of the minutes passes. Thank you. And at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Commissioner Christian for his report.
Madam Chair, thank you. We're messing around with the phone here a little bit, but appreciate a chance to give you just a few updates here. As you mentioned, today is the last day at our current location. The move will start somewhat today after the board meeting and run over the holiday weekend, and we hope to be in place on Tuesday. That said, we certainly ask for a little patience to be extended our way from around the higher ed community. A lot of work to be done, and we will be on some temporary systems for a while as we try to get everything moved downtown and put our phones and our IT systems and all of that. So we hope to be productive, but it may take us a little bit of time to be back to full steam. That said, we've had a good transition team working on this. I appreciate their efforts, and we're confident we'll have a good home very soon. I want to start with one sad announcement and extend our condolences to the MSUB campus and community. Last week, we lost somewhat unexpectedly a dear faculty member. Dr. Krista Moget passed away fairly suddenly, and she joined the team down there in 2017 as a university lecturer in the Geography and GIS department. Grew up in rural Montana, had earned her degree at the University of Montana, or at least her first degree, and will certainly be missed by students and faculty and the greater Billings community there. So we send our sincere sympathies and condolences to her family, and obviously to our MSUB community. Hopefully all of you saw the year in review that came out at the end of the year. A lot of positive things happened in 2017. Amidst a few challenges, and I think we tried to do our best to highlight all of that in the year-end review. If you didn't get a copy of it, reach out to us, because it's certainly something we hope to distribute far and wide, and something that we will continue to do moving forward. I want to make note of excellent work done at MSU. They received an A-plus rating on their long-term bonds from S&P Global Ratings last week, assessed as very strong. And I will tell you, that is a pleasant anomaly in higher education right now. As an industry, it has recently been downgraded from stable to negative. And so I'm very pleased to see the high performance of MSU. And I know that as we look and consider various projects, funding vehicles, and other things, it's often a question of our board members of how are we doing, and how does this reflect in our bond?
This is Chase. Did everyone else? Did the commissioner stop talking for everyone else, or did I lose connection?
No.
I
it's
can't
everybody.
Hear it.
I've lost.
Got on mute. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah. But
you have that one on.
Yeah. I think
you're all
scared. So
was that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, so I've been talking to myself, apparently. Where did we leave off, Madam Chair?
Global.
Let's see. You talked about MSU and the accreditation or the bond rating.
Okay, perfect. But we're not very far behind. Enough on that. We are very proud of the work they've done on preserving a very high bond rating. I started out then into our next topic, which is the change in leadership at the University of Montana. And pleased to welcome back. I know he was at the Bozeman meeting in some capacity, but our new president, President Bodner, is officially on board as of last week. I think you got like 8 days underway now.
Yep. 8 days.
8 days. So we're on our way, and I think it culminates, includes the end of a search process that was well embraced by the campus, was highly visible, open. Hopefully all felt that it was as transparent as it could be, and ultimately has ended in what we believe is an incredibly successful hire for the University of Montana, and we look forward to this next chapter. Madam Chair, with that said, I want to extend I thought a lot about what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow will be President Stern's last day at the University of Montana, and I've thought a lot about what I can honestly say. I began my time as a regent almost 13 years ago now, and Sheila Stearns was there at the time and an incredible mentor to me as well as everyone else on the board and around the system, and has proven to be an incredible leader for our system, and then served now twice in much-needed transitional periods of time in Billings and now for the last year in Missoula. And I don't think I'm poetic enough to do it justice, so I may not try, but I sincerely appreciate President Stearns, Sheila Stearns, on a personal level for all that she's done for me, but also for all that she's done for the state of Montana and the Montana University system. So, Madam President, if you're listening, we wish you better luck in your next round of retirement. But I truly thank you for all that you've done for the university system.
Is President Stearns on the call?
Yes, I am.
Can you
hear me?
Yes.
And thank you, Commissioner. That was very kind.
We hope to acknowledge you more at a later time, and if possible, if there's a way we can do some sort of round of applause now, it would be fantastic.
Yay!
Thank you. I think President Bodner must be wondering when will these rounds of applause, taper off, because I've been blessed with several lately. So thank you very much, everyone. It's been an honor to serve.
Hey, they can't go on long enough, Sheila. You know, decades and decades of service to this system, to this state. You deserve many, many more rounds of applause. So thank you for a great transition. And as much as I've tried, we have some great neuroscientists at the University of Montana. I've tried to figure out a mind meld of Sheila's and mine. I haven't been successful, but Sheila knows she's at the very top of my contact list in my cell phone. So and she is very willing to continue to serve as an advisor and a coach and a mentor, and I thank her in advance for everything that she will continue to do for us. So thank you, Sheila.
Most welcome. And I will say that the Commissioner Christian, Regent Nystuen, and others are kind of after Hal and me to help a bit with the 6 mil legacy levy, and we'll try to do our best to help out.
Great. Thank you, Sheila. Madam Chair, I'd also like to recognize another true and tireless leader in the Montana University system who equally shared President Stearns' failures in retirement. That's Jane Baker, who has now served a third time. She started her career at what I believe was then the GoTech in Butte, and transitioned that into Highlands College, then went on to help us as an interim spot in Dawson and Missoula College, and most recently brought back for round four at Helena College, and has just done an incredible job, and we owe you a very similar debt of appreciation. Your work has been incredible. I had a chance right before Christmas to visit the Helena College campus and spend some time, and people love working for Jane Baker, and that is very apparent. The atmosphere there was incredibly supportive, and the vibe is good, and we thank you, Jane, for the time that you've given us yet again, and we, as we do with Sheila, wish you better luck in retirement on your fourth try, or fifth now, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Those applause echoes are kind of interesting. Madam Chair, just a few welcomes here. I introduced briefly our new communications director, but the effort behind the year-end in review, our new communications director, who's now here in person, Blair Fieset, and comes to us with a wealth of experience in PR, marketing, social media, government relations, private sector. She's been a true champion for us already, and has worked across Montana with local and national and multinational companies, and so we are excited to have her here. She was an adjunct professor at Carroll College, her alma mater, and also worked with Strategies 360 before showing up here, so we're glad to have her on board. And Blair, welcome. Also, I want to welcome Joe Teal. For those of you that don't recall, Joe served as a student regent for several years, 2011 to 13, something like that, I think. 2011 to 13. He chaired the two-year subcommittee at the time, and he is now finishing his doctoral work at Oxford, where he was a Rhodes Scholar. He'll be returning to OCHE, or has already returned, and will serve as the Director of
Academic Policy and Research.
There we go. We've been debating this name a little, but there you have it. And finally, I'd like to welcome Dr. Kurt Lacey, who has worked throughout the MUS for many years, starting at faculty level and worked as through some administrative levels at MSU Billings, and then has most recently Department of Labor, leading what has been a very successful expansion of our relationships with the Department of Labor, but also our programs and apprenticeship opportunities. And so he will be returning and joining us here in Helena, and we'll take over for Jane Baker like today or tomorrow in the dean position at Helena College. So I want to welcome Dr. Lacey back as well.
And Mr.
Yes, sir.
If I might mention, Montana was recognized recently as being among the top five states in the entire United States for new apprenticeship development. And Dr. Lacey did a fantastic job working with the Department of Labor to really effort forward.
Yes, absolutely. So, Madam Chair, we start 2018 with a move underway. We'll get ourselves settled, and we are looking forward to a productive year in the Montana University system. And back to you. I guess I mentioned quickly that the campus reports, as always, are posted on the agenda. In addition to that, we have a booster report, which we talked about some at our last meeting in it's available for you to read. We'll have a chance to discuss a bit at a future meeting. And then also, I'd like to quickly, if I could, Madam Chair, ask Regent Nystuen to give us a quick update on where he sees us in terms of the 6-mil levy.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, Madam Chair, and members of the Regents and friends joining us today. I want to just give you a quick update about the 6-mil levy. We are off to a very good start. It was my pleasure to be at the breakfast that President Cruzado hosted for the annual Bobcat to make a very small announcement that the friends and colleagues with the MEA MFT union, 18,000 members strong across the state, have committed a $500,000 match to contributions, donations received towards this campaign. that is a big number. And so what we are earnestly doing is out across the state looking for the dollars that the MEA MFT will match, and we're off to a good start here. We will be having a meeting soon and actually discussing our goal, our achievement of that particular goal. Turns out that the Montana Chamber is having their annual business days here at the Capitol, and that's why I'm in town for that. And we'll have an opportunity today to address the Montana Chamber for their last word to talk about the 6 mil levy. So it's great that we're getting that type of endorsement from the greater business community across the state. The captains of business industry are getting behind this campaign, but we have a lot more work to do in that regard here. The basics of it right now is we are early in, as I said, in the fundraising phase. There has been public opinion polls done on this. From that, there will be a refinement of our message from the polling. So in other words, we take that data and we actually start crafting a campaign strategy around that. The budget, ideally, to raise $1.5 million, and again, a third of that would certainly come from MEA MFT, with the hopes that if we could, $2.2 million. We all know this is going to be a very noisy campaign, as the U.S. Senate and U.S. House seats will obviously catch a lot of media attention and so forth. But we're in the process right now, or at least Strategies 360, co-chair Mike Frank from Blue Cross Blue Shield and Paige Spaulding are working with Strategies 360 to create a strategic communications plan, looking at all types of media placement, social media, and beyond. So a broader field campaign needs to be put together and so forth. So what we're really encouraging is people to get their checkbooks out and get behind this and support it. You know, the Montana University system is home to 45,000 students, 8,000 employees. And what we'd really like to do is to see a strong vote of confidence in the support of financial consideration. I challenge every region to get their checkbooks out and help us in that endeavor, too. So a little plug for the good of the order. Certainly campus leaders and so forth can play. We can work with them as far as their personal involvement towards campaigning, write checks, and so forth. Use state time to advocate for it. Correct their office time, but they need to be out doing it. We are looking for any opportunity we can. We have a steering committee across the entire state, 30 individuals at least. Those folks are now soon going to be wanting to attend any Kiwanis Club, Rotary Club, you name it, club organization where we can send the message. Chamber luncheons, anything we can do. Remember, this is a type of a campaign that we are a ballot issue. We're not prohibited. Certain businesses, you know, and certain limitations. Gift is too big. No gift is too small. So we're looking at all we can to do this. So all in all, what a great vote of confidence we've received so far from the business community. More work needs to be done there, plus NFT's message with their generous support for this. So we have to go out and win this campaign. That campaign is won at the beginning of the session, the endeavor, rather than in the 11th hour. So we're gonna get after this. This is $20 million per year that is the cornerstone funding, as Sheila Stearns, President Stearns says, of our university system. We have to go out and make sure we get that. So with that, Madam Chair, Commissioner, if anybody has any questions otherwise, let me know any chance anybody has for an opportunity to go visit with the greater public about the need to get across the finish line in November with a positive 6 mil vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, that concludes my report.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had one question, if I might, for the Commissioner.
Yes, please. Regent Nystuen, or sorry, Regent Johnstone. I just want to make sure they know who's talking. Go ahead.
Thank you. Could you give us just a very brief update on the status of collective bargaining arrangements and agreements? Have we completed them? If not, why not? What's the status relative to our arrangements and agreements with all of our employees.
Madam Chair, Regent Nystuen, we're glad to provide what we can at this time. As you well know, our chief negotiator is Deputy Commissioner McCray, and he's sitting here next to me, so I'd like to ask him to give you a brief update.
Thank you, Regent Johnstone. Madam Chair, we are engaged in productive bargaining right now with the 25 collective bargaining units in the system that represent approximately 4,000 faculty and staff. This is a bit of an unusual biennium in terms of how the state finances have gone, including certain funding triggers that were tied to revenue triggers and then the special session. So we do not have completion yet of any of the 25 agreements, but we also do have very good productive bargaining going on right now and good understanding between the labor organizations, the exclusive agents, and your system negotiators. We do anticipate, I mean, you can never predict when a particular contract will settle, but I do anticipate by the March meeting and certainly by the May meeting of the Board of Regents that we should be able to start bringing back some tentative agreements for the board's review and approval.
Does this represent a slower pace, a later in the relevant contract period than normal or not?
Regent Nystuen, Madam Chair, yes, indeed it does. And this is a bit of a trend because customarily, until 2 years ago, when there were wage and salary adjustments to be bargained in the university system, the traditional customary implementation date for more than 20 years has been an October 1 implementation date. 2 years ago, through the state legislative pay plan, the implementation date was delayed until January, so 3 months later than the traditional date. And now, in the current biennium, the state employee pay plan that actually was not funded, but to some degree, at least for other agencies, was enacted. The target date that we're looking at now has been delayed until February. So the more you delay the date of any raise, if indeed there are even raises to be talked about, that is a material either impediment or a material slide or lag in the incentive to get agreements settled. So to put it bluntly, I guess, you know, we don't know yet, and we have not known because of the fiscal circumstances, precisely where we can land with a pay offer. And I won't get too detailed there in this discussion because we're having the detailed discussions at the bargaining table. But we do have greater clarity, and now that our faculty groups are coming back for spring semester, we've got a very ambitious bargaining schedule here in January and February, a lot of dates on the calendar. We've got a little more clarity with regard to what we think we can talk about for pay, and I do anticipate that even though this is unusual that we are this far into an academic year or this far into a biennium without any labor agreements, it's definitely not a sign that we have any problems, but it's been complicated, and we envision in March, certainly in May, to bring back the fruits of some productive contract talks for you and we hope approval.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And without this intending or meaning or should be taken as a criticism of anybody, I am concerned that these delays are not a very effective way in which we promote good labor relations and relations with our employees, and would hope that in the future that, and I guess this is a message to the other side as well, but hope that in the future we can accelerate this process so that the pay decisions can be resolved far earlier in the biennium than they currently are. So, Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Johnstone and Deputy Commissioner McCray. Unless there are any further comments or questions at this point, I'm ready to move on to the next item of the agenda.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Wadette Cruzado from Montana State University, and very quickly I would like just to share some important information with the Regent. First, yesterday, Montana State University in Bozeman had an opportunity to go in front of the Northwestern Commission Board to receive their questions and response about our recent seven-year cycle accreditation report. And I'm very happy to share with the regents that that was a very successful visit. I want to once again give kudos to Associate Provost Tommy Idol, her staff, but also to all the faculty, students, staff, alumni, community members, the regents, the commissioner. I want to thank you for your help during that process and for making of Montana State University such a strong institution. I also want to use this opportunity to welcome our new provost at MSU Northern, Neil Moisey, and we are very happy to have him on board. Tomorrow, Friday, we will have our another meeting of the search committee at MSU Billings. We are searching for the next chancellor of the campus, and I look forward to continue working with that group. And at the same time, I want to thank the leadership of the campus for the excellent work they're doing and continue to do. And then finally, I just also want to add my voice to welcoming Seth Butner to our team and to thank Sheila Stearns for the exceptional service that she has rendered not only to one campus in the university, but to each and every campus of the Montana University system. Thank you so much, Sheila.
Thank you, President Cruzado, and congratulations on the outstanding accreditation visit. That speaks volumes to the work that's being done, and I know that how rigorous that exercise is. So, again, kudos and congratulations. Any other reports or updates, comments, or questions before I move on? Hearing none, I will move on to the next item of the agenda, which is the consent agenda. Members of the board, are there any items on the consent agenda that you would like to have moved to the action items?
Madam Chair, this is Regent Lozar. I didn't have anything that I wanted to remove from the consent agenda. I had just a clarifying question on our policy that we adjusted in November as it relates to the staff items, what we delegated the authority. I know that in staff item B, we have a tenured professor that's coming in front of us. So I was hoping Deputy Commissioner could just clarify how that fits with the adjustments we made in the policy in November.
Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Lozar. Deputy Commissioner, would it be Sec? McCray, sorry.
Thank you, Regent Lozar. Madam Chair, the action and the subject of tenure has always been separate from the subject of faculty hires and faculty pay. So, because tenure has always been awarded, ultimately, it's recommended by the university and then approved by the board. They'll continue to see any recommended tenure action. And that's what this item is.
Thank you. Thank you. On that same item, if I may, President Cruzado or Deputy Commissioner McCray, could you speak to the how we hire somebody with tenure, just to explain that?
Madam Chair, I'll start and then I'll refer to President Cruzado. In a general sense, the Board of Regents policy on tenure does allow for circumstances that could be described as expedited tenure. So probably most tenure situations occur when a faculty member is hired, and then after a certain period of time in accordance with campus policies, then applies for tenure and is subject then to the tenure scrutiny, and ultimately then, if successful, tenure is recommended. In certain circumstances, especially in national recruitments, when a campus is hiring faculty, the campus might be in a situation where they are able to hire a faculty member who is experienced enough to have achieved tenure at another institution, for example. So oftentimes in those situations, perhaps in that example, I'm not saying it applies in this case, but that's an example where then if the faculty member at an accredited institution of higher education has undergone the rigorous promotion and tenure criteria at another institution, also if the faculty member will be subject to some level of department review at one of our institutions, then there are certain circumstances where expedited tenure or tenure at higher allows our institutions to be that much more competitive in recruiting and retaining faculty. So I'll defer to President Cruzado on a more specific basis.
And thank you, Deputy Commissioner, and thank you so much for the question, Madam Chair. I think that the Deputy Commissioner has explained, has provided a very thorough explanation. Actually, back in 2010, when I first started, I had an opportunity to work with Faculty Senate on this part of our policies, and that's what we know as tenure at higher. As for the specific circumstances in this case, I would like to ask Provost Makwa if he can please share additional information with the regents. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I think if you want to speak to the item, and if that's what you're asking, then generally we would move it from consent to the action agenda.
We certainly can. Does anybody have an issue with that? Okay, seeing none, let's go.
Original question, and maybe it's been answered and we can leave it on consent and just vote, but we usually don't dig into the items on consent.
Right. I believe it's being answered. I don't think it needs to be moved, but let's go ahead and leave it under consent. And I my understanding is it's been answered.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, President Cruzado.
Okay. So, again, back to the consent items. Are there any items that we want to move to the action portion of the meeting? Okay. Hearing none, and then I would just acknowledge that the work that's being done, item A on consent, the naming of buildings, I just want to acknowledge that I appreciate the effort that's gone in to ensure that our policies and procedures are really meeting the needs of what we are hearing from the constituents, public comment, et cetera. So I'm very pleased to see that we've been able to make that that amendment in this period of time. I would ask entertain a motion for items A through F on the consent agenda and the staff items A and B on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Was that Regent Tuss?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Motion to approve from Regent Tuss. Any discussions or corrections from members of the board or campuses? Any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I will call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. Thank you. I'd like to move on to the action items. and begin with action item A, adjustments to the 2019 biennial state general fund allocations. And for this item, I would like to turn it over to Deputy Commissioner Tyler Trevor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This item is very straightforward. It enacts reductions that were made during the recent special session in November. Those reductions amount to 1% in each year, each fiscal year of this biennium, and essentially codifies the decisions that have already been made in House Bill 2 to enact those reductions at the MUS Ed units and the community colleges. The total amount each year is $2.2 million for a total of $4.4 million. As you recall, in May of 2017, we allocated state general fund to the campuses for both fiscal years 18 and 19. And in September, we approved operating budgets partially based upon that allocation. The FY18 reductions obviously modify those operating budgets. And FY19 reductions are now known and will be taken into consideration as operating budgets work continues. In fact, at the March board meeting, we'll have kind of a new process where we'll bring forth the key building blocks associated with the FY19 operating budget. And this obviously will be taken into consideration. These reductions will be in place at that time. Madam Chair, members of the board, I'd be glad to answer any other questions you might have. But that concludes general description of this item.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Trevor. Are there any other questions or comments for Deputy Commissioner Trevor?
Madam Chair, this is Regent Johnstone. Tyler, could you expand a little bit more on the comment about the action taken by the legislature with respect to this? Did the legislature dictate that the reduction should occur with respect to the particular line items where the reductions show up?
Regent Johnstone, Madam Chair, members of the board, no, not specifically. We made the and were directed to by the governor's office during the special session to make the reductions across all state agencies. So this was the, I guess you would say, recommended approach from the governor's office and the legislature that came out of the session. Of course, the regions have discretion to determine where those cuts would be made. We followed exactly what was voted on and approved in House Bill 2, and that's what we're bringing before you here today. And in some sense, there is good logic behind it. Although we protect campus operating budgets fiercely, there are other components of the MUS operating budget, tribal colleges, state financial aid, agencies, all that operate obviously without tuition resources. And those areas, this recommendation to the board and the recommendation that basically came out of House Bill 2 preserve those, so there won't be any cuts in those areas. And that's just the basic logic that we followed, and we stuck by what was codified in House Bill 2, bringing those recommendations to this board.
Thank you, Tyler. And then one
hey, Robert?
Excuse me. Fran, could I ask one more
yes.
question?
Okay. Absolutely. Regent Johnstone?
The other question I had, or clarification, with respect to fiscal 18, we're through it, so I understand that those allocations have already been made down to the campus levels. With respect to fiscal 19, will the allocations down to the campus units, will there be an opportunity for those to be reviewed once more in connection with the approval of the operating budgets for those units that will occur in April or in May, I guess, Tyler? I'm not suggesting that they should be changed. I'm just asking whether there will be another opportunity to look at those in the context of operating budgets.
Regent Johnstone, members of the board, as I mentioned, we're instituting somewhat of a new process here that would bring information about FY19 earlier to the board at the March meeting, building blocks there. So you'll get a chance to see the state allocation with the reduction here in concert with projected tuition revenue and some of our board-adopted benchmarks for our operating budget applied at a very early preliminary sense to give the board a good idea of where FY19 is headed for each campus. So, yes, in that sense, you'll see that picture, and, of course, the board has at its discretion the ability to allocate funds per campus and could review those and make any decisions or alterations if needed.
Thank you. Thank you, Fran. Appreciate the opportunity to ask.
Absolutely. Any other questions or comments?
Madam Chair, this is Regent Lozart.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Trevor, could you speak to the reductions on the special side? Are those included in Program 9 or those identified in House Bill 2 specifically?
Yep. Regent Lozart and members of the board, the special approaches fall within Program 9. That's the MUS Ed units, and it's just a collection of line item additions to the university system's budget that over time have been accumulated and collected primarily in Program 9. We have the graduate medical education. We know that's the residencies that we offer here in the state of Montana, and the funding that goes to supplement funds that are brought in by Department of Health and Human Services. And then there's a host of Yellow Bay is a single line item that goes to the University of Montana, not part of their operating budget, but goes directly to Yellow Bay. PBS, both of the campuses have that. Regents Priority Funds, those are funds that we use for Regents Priority that are shaved off the top. And then you see that PF residual, that's performance funding residual. So any of the money that's left over from the unallocation where campuses do not receive the total amount gets put into this pool, and just as for everyone's benefit here, we then have policy or practice. We look at either granting some of those funds back to a campus, carrying those funds over, and using them to supplement our state-funded aid program. And that will be a topic at the March board meeting that'll go hand-in-hand with the FY19 operating budget.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I would like to go ahead and entertain a motion to approve action item A.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay, Regent Johnstone has made a motion to approve the adjustments to the 2019 biennial state general fund allocations. Any discussion or corrections or any discussion from members of the board? Campuses? Any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you. Item B on the action item agenda, request for approval of updated core themes at the University of Montana, Missoula. Do I have, let's see, Associate Provost Nathan Lindsay on the line to speak to these?
Yes, Chair Albrecht, I can speak to those.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, our updated core themes at the University of Montana come from our recent strategic planning process. The five core themes are engage students where they are, invest in people, partner with place, support excellence and innovation in our curriculum, and foster knowledge creation and innovation. We were initially going to present these in November and had requests from our faculty senate leaders to have more discussion about core theme 4, which was initially entitled Reinvent the Heart of the Curriculum. And there was some desire to have a broader and more holistic core theme for that area focused beyond just a revision of general education. And through discussion with Faculty Senate, leadership and our Strategic Planning Coordinating Council, we were able to come to the modified language of supporting excellence and innovation in our curriculum and feel really good about that. These core themes are in preparation for our year one report for NWCCU that will include further development of objectives and indicators. I imagine there'll be more discussion on campus about how these are operationalized or any modifications to these, but we present them for your approval.
Thank you. Any questions for Associate Provost Lindsay?
Chair Albrecht?
Yes.
Just a general question. To what extent has President Buttner had an opportunity to review and provide any input with respect to these?
So, Regent Johnstone, Chair Albrecht, members of the board, this is President Buttner. So, I have had a chance to review these core themes, and they are in line with what I see as the important themes for this university. I think it's important just to note, as many are aware, and to speak to the APAS process that has occurred over the past year at the University of Montana. As many of you are aware, I just recently, in the past 24 hours, did receive President Stern's recommendation from the work of APAS, and it's important to, number one, thank the APAS team, the campus, for the tremendous amount of hard work that went into that process. And it's time now to take those recommendations forward. But those recommendations, I think it's important to know, must be considered in context, really, of two things. First, the overarching vision of the University of Montana, which, you know, as I have come into this role and I think about what I'd call our North Star, the vision for this institution, it is really driven by two fundamental questions, which is what do our students, our state, our country, our world need from a flagship university today? And two, how can the University of Montana most effectively meet those needs? The second thing that is obviously a consideration is our financial situation for fiscal year 19 and beyond. So in line with the core themes that Associate Provost Lindsay has outlined, I'm going to be working to move these recommendations forward, working with our leadership team, the cabinet, our deans, and our shared governance groups to, over the coming days and weeks, to define an administrative structure and process to crystallize that vision, you know, that is in line with these core themes that have been established, but to re-examine these recommendations, our programs, through that lens, considering both quality and sustainability of our programs, which will allow us to define our areas of focus. This will, you know, to the fourth priority that Associate Provost Lindsay just mentioned, allow us to pursue excellence. And we will pursue excellence by focusing on our strengths and applying those strengths to the greatest opportunities that we see in the greatest needs of our students in the state of Montana. So these themes, this process of APAS that we will be continuing and moving forward is ultimately about sustaining and enhancing the quality of our education. And that requires focus and an intentional process of applying our resources to our greatest strengths and those greatest opportunities. So I think these core themes, together with the work of APAS and our strategic vision, provide a great foundation for us to move forward, and we will be doing that in short order in 2018.
Thank you, President Buttner. Does that answer your question, Regent Johnstone?
It does. Thank you so much.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, I am ready to entertain a motion to approve action item B for the approval of the updated core themes for the University of Montana.
Also move, Regent Albrecht.
And that, thank you, Regent Nystuen. A motion made by Regent, to approve by Regent Nystuen. Any discussion from members of the board? Campuses. Any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. Thank you, and thanks to everyone for all of your work on that. Moving to action item C, request for approval of mission statement revision, Helena College. And do we have Dean Jane Baker on the line to present this item?
Yes, Madam Chair. The edits to this mission statement were brought forward from our strategic planning meetings, and those meetings were chaired by Chad Hickox, and who's now the Associate Dean of Academic and Student Affairs. And it's actually just two changes. The word high quality was inserted as it applies to Helena's educational opportunities, and that ties in to some of the core themes in our strategic plan. And the word four rather than two was changed, and it just reads better, and it's to improve the readability. So with that, do you have any questions?
Thank you, Dean Baker. Any comments or questions? And I understand from Regent Sheehy that ARSA, again, on all of these items had reviewed them, and there was no opposition from the ARSA members.
Chad there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. On the ARSA review, could you address that?
That was a call, thank you. That was hosted by Chair Sheehy.
Right. Okay.
And we had the conversations, and I think I answered any questions that might exist at that point, but I'm here to answer any if there might be any now.
Okay, any further discussion or questions? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the mission statement revision for Helena College.
So moved.
Okay, was that Regent Greenfield?
And Regent Sheehy, either or.
Okay, Regent Greenfield has made a motion to approve this item. Any discussion from members of the board? Campuses? Any public comment on this item? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Action item D, level two campus proposals, regarding program center and institutes. I believe Deputy Commissioner John Seck, could you please speak to this item?
Thank you, Chair Albrecht. It's my pleasure. We have two level two items before the board today, and both of these items have been reviewed by the chief academic officers across the system. They were also discussed at the ARSA call just a couple of days ago. So the first item is recommending approval for an Associate of Applied Science in Firearms Technologies at Flathead Valley Community College. And we do have Vice President Chris Klaus on the line.
Thank you. Yes, I'm there. Sorry. Thanks very much. This new program is actually a combination of two existing certificate programs that we have. It's going to allow us to offer stackable credentials to students in the area of machining in general and firearms in particular. We have a burgeoning machining and firearms manufacturing center up here, and they are unable to fill positions, so there is a need.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Any other questions on this particular item? Thank you. Deputy Commissioner Sec, you want to move on to the next item?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item is from Montana State University. It's a request for approval of the Regional Initiative for Dental Education, the RIDE program. And we have Provost Makwa on the line who is prepared to introduce.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Deputy Commissioner Sec. This is Provost Makwa from Montana State University. We are requesting approval to establish a Montana Regional Dental School program at Montana State University. The program would be offered in collaboration with the University of Washington School of Dentistry. Very similar to in format and structure to the existing WAMI medical education program, as well as our veterinary medical education program that's offered in collaboration with Washington State University. It's a four-year program. The first year students will spend here at Montana State University on our campus, and they will share classrooms, classroom space, and even some classes with our first-year WAMI regional medical students. In the second year of the program, students will be at the Spokane RIDE site for more advanced training. In year three, the students will go to the University of Washington School of Dentistry main campus, and they will rotate through specialized clinical clerkships with a goal here of creating what's sometimes referred to as a super generalist, recognizing that these students are specifically being trained to work somewhat independently in rural areas. The fourth and final year of the program, the students will spend in rotation set up in rural communities and Native American health centers at various clinical locations across the state of Montana. And then after completing the fourth year, the students will be ready to be certified dentists. So there is no residency requirement in dental education. We currently have quite a few dental clinical site rotations already established in the state of Montana, and these are managed under a program called Mini RIDE. But this will provide an opportunity for us to specifically recruit students from rural Montana locations and to provide some financial opportunities to be able to obtain their dentist license. The reasons for the need for this program are associated with the critical access problems that we have in oral health because of an inadequate supply of dental professionals. There's a very high uninsured population in the state, as well as a relatively high poverty level. This results in limited access to dental services to low-income, Native American, and special needs populations. And in fact, approximately 80% of the counties in Montana have been identified as dental health professional shortage areas. And that's primarily because of the lack of practicing dentists in the state of Montana. And the trend in terms of the number of dentists is not moving in a positive direction. In fact, since the year 2010, we've experienced close to in the number of dentists practicing in the state. So the driving force behind this program is to reinvigorate the dental health care that we provide in the state. Frank Roberts, the head of the RIDE program, is available on to answer specific questions about the curriculum or the program, as well as Kathy Judula, the director of health sciences for Montana State University. The Regents heard this a portion of this presentation at the November meeting, in which we shared the intent to plan. So at this point, I will pause and to see if there are additional questions or if you would like additional background information from Frank Roberts or Kathy Judula.
Thank you, Provost Makwa. And I believe Jennifer Scott is also on the line. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from
Chair
members
Albrecht?
Of the board? Yes.
Yes, this is Regent Tuss, and we had a nice conversation about this proposal recently during a conference call of the ARSA committee. And one of the questions that was brought up, and I think it's appropriate to bring it up today, is although there seems to be great support for this, and certainly I'm supportive, what does this, upon approval, obligate us to do as we approach the 2019 legislature, knowing that this program is similar to other medical type initiatives that are already part of the Montana University system? What are we obligating ourselves to as we approach 2019?
Thank you, Regent Tuss. Provost Makwa, would you like to answer that, or is there someone else?
Madam Chair,
well, I can.
Madam Chair,
I'm sorry.
I'd actually like to answer, because I think it's much more of a system question than an MSU one, and I think it's a very good question that we need to address. And I apologize. I think in retrospect, probably should have been more explanatory on this in the request. I think that we have this request in front of the board in the right order. It is a little bit of a chicken and an egg, but I don't think we ought to seek new program funding without having the campus process. We certainly need to know that it's supported by faculty, that it's a program that we can carry out. And so I think it's important that we bring the item in front of the board first and foremost. But that said, I don't think we can or should obligate this board to anything. I think it is well supported. It is something we've talked about. But I think what will have to happen in terms of a process for the 19 legislative session, although it cringes me a little to start talking about that already, I think we will have to ultimately weigh what the system presents in terms of funding requests, and we have a process in which we've vetted that in years past, and, you know, work with the governor's office and beyond to see, you know, where there is support for legislative funding in terms of budget parameters. Obviously, we'll need to watch closely at where revenue estimates come in and what money is available. Ultimately, if those stars align, then we would seek under Program 2 of House Bill 2 line item funding for this, similar to how we've handled WAMI in the past, and that's sort of the conversation that we've had. I want to be transparent in that the approval of this item certainly is the first step in a remaining series of steps, and I think it's been well vetted and is well supported, but we will have to go through that process to ultimately evaluate what our funding opportunities are and then how they are prioritized at a system level.
That certainly answers my question. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other, yes, Regent.
This is
Green.
Chase. Yes.
Oh, yep, Regent Greenfield.
I had an additional clarifying question for the commissioner, and then a follow-up comment and thought. That's all right.
Of course.
So, Commissioner Christian, just as a clarifier, then, in affirming this program today, that has no effect on our designating this necessarily as a legislative priority for the 2019 session. Is that correct? We would have that discussion later?
Madam Chair, Regent Greenfield, I think in a technical sense that's correct. Obviously, if there's no support for this program at a board level, we would want to know that soon so we don't expend more efforts on it, but this in itself, the approval of this program does not set the priority list for the 2019 legislative funding request. That's correct.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. That was my only outstanding concern with this program, which I'm very supportive of, and that it addresses a need, especially in our rural areas from Montana, and would provide an excellent opportunity for 8 students to 16 students, it appears, on the proposal form. My concern was I did not want to jeopardize or add to a list with what I think will be a difficult legislative session for us, compromising the overall need of approximately 40,000 students and associated faculty and staff by adding another thing to our wish list. So I'm glad that we can have that discussion at a future time, and I'm supportive of approving the program so that other alternatives and grants can be pursued. I'm not certain that I'm willing to endorse a legislative priority at this time, so I'm glad to hear that those will be distinct.
And you said you had a follow-up comment or question, Regent Green?
That was that, unless it didn't go through.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions on these items, within D?
Madam Chair, this is Regent Lozar. One of the things we discussed in committee a couple days ago was if we were to approve this today, knowing that there isn't funding for it, there's no legislative funding for it at this point in time, the basic fact that we would approve it would help initiate some additional planning for the program, which I know Montana State thought was very valuable for them in preparation for a legislative session. One of the comments I think that was made was looking at additional external funders, foundations, et cetera, that may be on a list to be able to sort of support an endeavor like this. And perhaps MSU could speak just quite briefly to sort of what might happen right after approval if this was to be approved today.
Thank you. Sounds like that would be appropriate for Provost Makwa to answer.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for that question, Regent Lozar. So we recognize that the student tuition, although it would be quite high for this program, would only provide about 20 to 25% of the funding needed to offer the program. So there are other opportunities that we hope to pursue to supplement any request that may be put forward to the legislature. And this would involve pursuing funding requests to other agencies. You know, for example, HRSA, a HRSA grant is currently used to fund the mini-ride program. So that's an example of an agency that could possibly provide funding. There are healthcare foundations that address healthcare access in rural America. Indian Health Services funding, other third-party payers. So there are opportunities, and we plan to pursue those opportunities, if nothing else, to minimize the amount of funding that we would need to request from the state legislature to supplement that funding. Certainly, the sooner we have some direction in terms of the amount of funding that we would need to pursue outside of state funding requests, the more helpful, but we certainly understand the process that needs to evolve in determining priorities for the state MUS, and we will cooperate to our fullest extent.
Thank you, Provost Makwa. Any other questions? Does that answer your question, Regent Lozar?
It does. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Chair, I have a comment. This is Martha.
Yes, Regent Sheehy.
At the risk of boring the ARSA people who have heard this before, this interested me in an offshoot way. We've identified this problem, the lack of dental services. And other states have found just as we have apparently, that the need for dental services is acute in rural areas and especially in Native American communities. Minnesota and Alaska, I did a little bit of research after our last call with ARSA. Minnesota and Alaska have passed legislation that allows for a limited practice by dental professionals. They call it dental therapists. Other states are also looking at approval of these lesser serving, not fully licensed dentists who do different tasks but do provide dental services, especially in rural communities. Now that we've identified this need in our state, we know that if we fill that need, we will provide employment opportunities for Montanans. So I urge the campuses who are involved in this, because the RIDE proposal goes beyond just MSU Bozeman, I urge all of these campuses to really keep an eye out on developments with respect to dental services. It looks like that area is going to explode into some paraprofessional type opportunities. And I think our system should be ready to consider educational programs in that regard, because it looks like it's going to line up with our needs and the needs of our students as well.
Thank you, Regent Sheehy. And certainly to your point, I think that, you know, obviously that's an opportunity at the system level to ensure that we are helping to facilitate anything across the different institutions to help identify and facilitate any ways to address some of those needs and development of programs. And again, that's why we have an excellent role with Deputy Commissioner John Seck in overseeing what's going on at all of the campuses. So excellent point, thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Chair Albrecht, this is Regent Greenfield one more time.
Yes.
That's all right. Just looking at the curriculum proposal form and doing some simple calculations, one other concern I would raise is the cost per student, just looking at the ongoing funding request, varies between around $90,000 to up to $140,000 per student. This a cost that I think is pretty high and should be evaluated as much detail as possible. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Further comments or questions on either of these? Okay, thank you for the helpful discussion on both of these areas. At this point, I would entertain a motion to approve action item D, level 2 campus proposals.
Moved by Regent Lozar.
Motion made by Regent Lozar. Any discussion from members of the board? Campuses? Any public comment on this item? Any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. Thank you all. Helpful discussion. I'm ready to move on to the information item. Item A is intent to plan proposals. These were brought up in October, November. Deputy Commissioner John Seck, can you speak to these?
Madam Chair, members of the board, absolutely. And following a similar process to the level two, both of these items have been discussed among the chief academic officers in the state and were discussed just a couple of days ago at during our ARSA call, and no objections have been made. The first is from Montana State University Northern. It's a plumber, pipe fitter, associate applied science a request for intent plan. And as you know or may know, MSU Northern has quite a long history and reputation for providing apprenticeships and programming in these areas. So this is just an opportunity to take what they're doing and create an associate of applied science opportunity for their students. And so I'll pause there to see if there are any questions.
Any questions from members of the board? Okay, Hearing none, go ahead and move on to the next
Madam
item.
Chair, members of the board, the second item is from Montana Tech at Highlands College there. It's a request intent to plan to study the creation of an Associate of Applied Science in Precision Machining Technology. And similarly to my last statement with MSU Northern, this is an area that Montana Tech and their Highlands College has a lot of experience with and is working on and has certificates, and they just wish to take what they're doing and explore creating Associate of Applied Science opportunities for their students. And this also meets with recommendations from the community and local industry there.
Any questions on this item? Okay, hearing none. I have one question. Deputy Commissioner Seck, I'm curious, again, we've been in this newer process for how long now? Over a year?
18 months.
Okay. I'm just curious if you're continuing to get feedback about the effectiveness of this newer, procedurally, this plan, and certainly would welcome any feedback to us as a board if there's anything that we can do to further streamline or make this more effective.
Madam Chair, members of the board, thank you for the question, and I am receiving feedback, and the feedback has been positive. The campuses have reported that it's increased communication from the very front end and created opportunities for the campuses to really think about how they can work together or try and solve issues or problems on the front end instead of a 3 or 4 days before a major board meeting. So we're excited. Obviously, a couple of good examples, the Master of Science in Occupational Therapy collaborative between University of Montana and MSU Billings is a great example. I convene the chief academic officers typically before each board meeting for a retreat, and we discuss a number of things. One of the things that we're working on is how can we would like to develop a post program approval process or post program review process. So as regents, you see a program, you approve it, and then you don't see it again for years and years until it comes up on the 7-year review process. So the CAO and I are working on a plan that would allow those programs to come back to the regents probably in a couple of years and really give you a chance to say how did they do? Do they need some tweaking or are they proceeding as planned? So those are some of the things that we work on a regular basis.
Thanks so much, Deputy Commissioner Seck. I think that would be great. I would appreciate the opportunity to take a look at those. Thanks for the update. Are there any other questions or comments with regard to this information? Okay. At this moment, I would like to go ahead and move to the public comment section of this meeting and open the opportunity up for any public comment on any of the items or any other issues that folks would like to comment on. Is there any public comment? Again, this is an opportunity for any public comment. Okay, hearing none. The last item on the agenda is executive session, and as the presiding officer, I've determined that the demands of individual privacy in these matters exceed the merits of public disclosure. Therefore, I will be closing this meeting to all but the regents and those necessary to the discussion of these matters. immediately after executive session, we will be adjourning, so everyone can please hang up now. And Amy D'Amato will first call into the executive session number as the host, and please wait a minute to call into that number. Thank you all for joining us today, and this portion of the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.